fire on the earth. Our Holy Father has said the church is missionary by her very nature. The church exists to evangelize. He's called for a new springtime of evangelization. To help us obtain the tools each of us needs to answer the church's call, this is Fire on the Earth. Here is our host, Peter Herbeck.
Good morning. This is Peter Herbeck, your host. I want to talk today again about the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord is a happy topic for this season of Advent. It's right at the core of what Advent's all about. It's a season of preparation. It's a season of anticipation. It's a season of readiness. Are we ready not only to celebrate the coming of the Lord and to take time to prayerfully reflect on what that means, that the Son of God took on human flesh and became one of us? What does that mean, that great mystery? Why did he do it? And what difference does it make in my life today? But we also want to reflect on the truth that Jesus proclaimed, that we proclaim every Sunday in the liturgy, that he will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead. And that truth, that reality, ought to produce in us a readiness. Being alert, like the apostles say, be alert, be sober, be ready. Be ready for the return of the Lord, because we know when he comes again, he will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead. He's going to reveal, Jesus isn't going to come in anger, judging. Jesus is going to come in triumph. Jesus is going to come in glorious power and victory. As he comes, he's going to lift the veil. He's going to reveal everything about what is good, what is true, what is evil, what ought to be judged. He's going to separate the sheep from the goats. He's going to expose the condition of every human heart. Jesus is going to bring to light what is hidden in darkness, the scriptures tell us. That includes the darkness that's in each one of our hearts, your heart and mine. There's a passage in Hebrews chapter 10 that's a healthy fear of the Lord passage that goes like this. Hebrews 10, 26 and following. For if we willfully persist in sin, after having received the knowledge of the truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sins, but instead a fearful prospect of judgment and a fury of fire that will consume the adversaries of God. The author of Hebrews is just repeating the words of Jesus, the warnings of Jesus about the final judgment. Jesus is the one who's been given, said, judgment has been given over to him by the Father. And what he's coming to do is he's coming to judge sin. He judged it on the cross, but he's coming to ultimately deal with sin. Scripture says Jesus came to take away sin. He went through everything he went through, friends, because he had to destroy sin's power. Sin is, as we said yesterday, and what the gift of the fear of the Lord produces in us is a healthy sense of what sin is and an understanding that really sin is the only ultimately powerful evil. This offending of God is the only thing that can ultimately destroy us because it separates us from God. It leads to our own eternal destruction. So it's extremely healthy to have the fear of the Lord that's rooted in the understanding that God is holy. God is pure. God is awesome. And offending the holy, pure, majestic God is a profound evil. And so the fear of the Lord ends up producing in us a hatred for sin. That's a good thing. It causes us to want to fight and turn away from sin and the temptations of sin, and it strengthens us. So this passage from Hebrews stands right in line with all the passages from the Old Testament, from the Psalms, from Proverbs, all the way through the prophets, right up to the teaching of Jesus himself, because what we're seeing in the fear of the Lord is a dimension of Jesus' fundamental character. That's what we said yesterday, that the spiritual gifts that the prophet Isaiah gives us in chapter 11, which is what I began yesterday's program with, he lays out for us, really, who is the Messiah? What's he like? What is Jesus like? I'll read it again. Isaiah 11, verse 1 and following. There shall come forth a shoot from the stump of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots, and the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him. So who is Jesus? Who is the Messiah? The one upon whom the Spirit of the Lord rests. He's filled with the Spirit, and he has the gifts of the Spirit, the reality, the presence and power of the Spirit at work in him that has shaped his character and his orientation to God and to the world. Verse 2, and the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom, the Spirit of understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge, and the fear of the Lord. And his delight shall be the fear of the Lord. So what do we know about the Messiah? What do we know about Jesus? That he took great delight in the fear of the Lord. He took great delight in resisting sin and resisting temptation. He knew the battle he came to fight. And he came to not only win the battle for us, but to convince us and to show us how evil sin is. And he wants to give us his grace, his power, his character to strengthen us to resist sin and to hate it and to hate evil and to hate offending God, the holy God, because we're made to be just like God, to be united to him, to love what God loves and to hate what God hates. Think about the temptation in Luke's account of the temptation in the desert. Right after Jesus is baptized in the Jordan, and there's the theophany, there's a revelation of God the Father, you know, saying, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased, and the Holy Spirit rests upon him. And Jesus' mission begins, his mission of proclaiming the gospel and bringing the kingdom. He leaves the waters of the Jordan, and he goes forward under the anointing of the Spirit. And where does the Spirit lead him? Into the desert to confront his enemy. First, he goes for 40 days. He's there in the desert. He doesn't eat anything, so he's fasting through that entire period. And Luke tells us that at the end of that period, he's hungry and he's tired because he's had to do battle against his own flesh, but also spiritual battle in the desert. So that's the moment, at this moment of weakness, when the devil comes to tempt Jesus. And he's going to attack his identity and his destiny. His identity as a son of God, and all he's going to attack the total surrender of Jesus and the identification of Jesus with the Father and his identity as Son of God. So he says in first temptation, he throws at him. He's got three temptations that he throws at Jesus. He says, if you are the Son of God, turn this stone into bread. If you're the Son, do something, work a miracle. Save yourself, make it happen. What does Jesus say? One does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. He repeats that in the Gospels. What's my life source? Obedience to the Father. The Father didn't tell me to turn this stone into bread. You're tempting me to do that. What I'm going to do is I'm going to do the will of the Father no matter what. And so he resists sin. There's strength there. There's something deep in Jesus. He knows that offending the Father is wrong. Then the devil takes him and shows him all the kingdoms of the world. And he says, rightly, so this belongs to me. All the glory and authority of the world is mine. Look at it. I can give it to you. Remember what St. John tells us in his first letter, that the whole world, the power of the devil, all of that, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, the glitz, the glory, the authority of the world, all belongs to the enemy. And he's standing there and he's saying, Jesus, it's yours. I'll give it to you. So he's appealing, he's tempting Jesus to say, enthrone yourself. Go for the gold. Go for the glory. Glorify yourself by following your own path. What does Jesus say? Worship the Lord your God and serve him only. Why? Because the devil told him, this is all yours if you worship me. You can have it all. That's what the devil wants to hear from every single person. Ultimately, he wanted to hear it from Jesus. Bend your knee to me. Humble yourself under my command and acknowledge me as Lord and me as God. That's what drives the enemy. And so he tempts Jesus with all that the world can give. He's willing to give it all so that Jesus would bend down and worship him. And Jesus stands strong. He says, worship the Lord your God alone, and him only shall you serve. Is that your disposition, your heart, in the face of temptation? Because it's coming at you every day. It's coming after me every day. The enemy wants to make the same offer. Go for the glitz. Go for the glory. Go for pleasure. Go for honor. Go for what this world gives you, because that's the only thing that's worth having. And I'll give it to you if you follow me, if you acknowledge me, if you worship me, and you obey me rather than God. Then he takes him to the pinnacle of the temple. He says, if you're the Son of God, throw yourself down. I mean, Scripture says that God will protect you. God will lift you up. So throw yourself down if you're God's Son, if you trust him so much. Tremendous temptation. We always encounter, or we often encounter in life, this same temptation. Is God trustworthy? Does he really look at you like a son or a daughter? Hasn't he just left you out here in the cold with nothing? Aren't you really on your own? And you talk a game, you say you have faith. Well, test it. You know, throw yourself down. What did Jesus say? Scripture says, do not put the Lord your God to the test. Jesus conforms himself in each one of these temptations to the word of God. He seeks obedience of the Father. Why? Because he trusts the Father. And because he knows that to disobey God, to not trust the Father, is a wicked thing. To not obey the commands of the Lord. Jesus articulates the commands. And he said, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. Where do I find life? In my Father's commands. Where do I find security? In my Father's commands. Where am I going to find fulfillment, happiness, security, peace? In my Father's commands. Right? Worship the Lord your God. Him only should you serve. There's only one that I bow my knee to, and that's my Father. There's one who I never want to offend. That's my Father. I want to obey his word. Do not put the Lord your God to the test. This is what's in the heart and the mind of Jesus, of the Messiah. In this season of Advent, the Holy Spirit is at work. The church is here to help in her sacraments and life and preaching to conform you, to conform me to the same character of Jesus, to give us what's in Jesus. And one of the fundamental characteristics of Christ, a deep habit, orientation to God, is to live in the fear of the Lord, to fear ever offending God in any way. It's such a healthy thing, the fear of the Lord. It's a bad rap because of the word fear. We trust and love God because we know he's loving, and he puts within us a passion to resist sin. Let's welcome it. Let's say yes to it, and let's walk in it with all our heart, friends. God bless you. Have a good day.
This has been Fire on the Earth. It's heard here Monday through Friday at this time. Our host has been Peter Herbeck, Vice President of Missions at Renewal Ministries. You can contact Peter or listen again to this program on the web at renewalministries.net. Fire on the Earth is brought to you by Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'm delighted to be able to offer you my new booklet, The New Evangelization, What's Our Message? At the heart of the new evangelization is a fresh proclamation of the gospel. But for many people, even many Catholics, they wonder, what is the message? What exactly is at the heart of that proclamation? In this simple booklet, The New Evangelization, What's Our Message?, I take a look at and present in a very specific and simple way what is the core of what we're called to proclaim in this great and important missionary moment in the history of the church. If you'd like a free copy, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789.